activate.
Hi, man. Hey, everybody. Welcome to This Pink Cloud. We are a show that's all about multiple pathways to recovery, mental health, all that good stuff. I am DJ Kelly Reverb.
And I am an RSPS.
And I also eat Denty Moore beef stew.
and go to the restroom and hit my O-ring, brother.
O-ring. Yeah, that's a mechanic term. So yeah.
I blew out my O-ring eating some Denty Moore beef stew one time.
I need to go to the bathroom and replace my head gasket.
Anyway, but appreciate y'all tuning in. Be sure to like, subscribe, all that kind
Smash
of stuff.
That fucking like button.
Yeah, man. Speaking of smashing that like button, ladies and gentlemen, Chad Lamont.
And yeah, I'm so privileged to be here. I am so happy.
We have all the updated sound effects.
We got new sound effects because I had to do legislation with the government to be able
to make
from Nova Scotia
to make
be able
new
to
beeps
put
and boops.
To new beeps and boops on my thing because nice. I was inspired at all times in my entire life by Madonna and Depeche Mode and Tom Sum. Those three things are what keep me going on a daily basis.
All right.
And that is it.
No that is fantastic.
No Dire Straits. I'm not such a teen man.
Anyway, hey man, I'm glad this guy could make it. He's a busy dude. He's a busy mechanic and a speed metal enthusiast.
Slam metal. Hey, you better slam that like button if you like slam metal.
So they call it slamming brutal death metal.
Oh, well, there we go. They're all three good adjectives, so I like them all and I approve of them all. But anyway, give it up for Garrett Starts, everybody. Up, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. A little tired. I came here straight from work, but, you know.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Life is good. I can't complain.
Well, we appreciate you actually making it.
For sure.
Probably something you wouldn't have done in your addiction.
No. Fuck no.
Right. So, yeah, how old of a guy are you?
So, I'm 24.
Okay. So, you're a young buck.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say so.
All right. Well,
I don't feel like it, though.
I would say so. I mean, you know.
My body physically doesn't feel like it. I was just in the ER the other night and all kinds of shit.
Okay.
From, I think, like...
Past use.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Okay. But well, let's talk a little bit about the backstory. I mean, that's what we normally do and kind of, hopefully
we can talk louder.
And hopefully we can, somebody will hear your story, relate, and maybe save them the trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, man. So, I mean, I don't know. I grew up in fucking the colony, kind of down the road.
Okay.
North Dallas. You know what I mean? But I my dad is an alcoholic, was in, 12-step program and stuff like that.
So you kind of grew up around it.
Yeah. I mean, okay. My parents, divorced when I was really young and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I never, I don't think I really started to realize what was going on until maybe I was like 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I kind of knew my dad and his friends are alcoholics or whatever and stuff like that. But I never, it didn't click for me that there's a real chance of me being an addict until way later.
Right. Well, you don't even know what an alcoholic is, really.
At that age, I wasn't
a lot
really,
of beer.
Yeah, I was just more concerned with riding dirt bikes and shit like that. You
right.
know? I
of course.
I wasn't
important
really,
stuff.
Yeah,
right.
important stuff at the time.
Right.
But, I mean, dude, in school, even without drugs, I always was... just wanted to get into shit. Mm-hmm. Me and I had a stepbrother who passed away last year. We were very close, and we used to just get into all kinds of stuff.
Okay. Well, how did he pass?
So he actually got, we think he got killed.
Okay.
But there's not there's a murder investigation and stuff, I think, right now. But
okay.
It's not for a while I thought it was an OD, but I guess he was dosed by somebody.
A fentanyl poisoning?
No, they're trying to figure out what it is because it wasn't actually fentanyl.
Okay. So
some crap.
It was some government shit.
Some fucking wormwood shit, bro.
Right. You know okay.
I mean? Some CIA. But no, it was this girl that he was involved with.
Uh huh.
is like fucking crazy.
Okay.
And so we're like 99% sure she killed him.
Ah. You know what I mean? Okay.
And like a bunch of weird stuff is going on with like, you know, her and my family and stuff now. It's just, it's crazy.
Okay.
But, you know, it's lit.
Right.
So, but it's definitely not mid, brother.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, man, I mean, I don't know, like, I tried sports, mm-hmm. you know, and I just fucking, you know, I played soccer and I played, you know, fucking whatever the fuck it was. And then I got into
Chiddlywinks.
I got into like football in middle school. Okay. You know what I mean? And I was right. horrible. Mm-hmm. I was trash.
Well, you're kind of a small guy yeah, for football.
I'm a smaller okay. guy and, you know. Too metal for that anyways.
So. Right, of course.
Yeah, so fucking posers.
Metal, metal and sports yeah. are not necessarily normal.
Well, I wanted to be like my dad. You know, right. my dad played, you know, was a badass athlete. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And growing up, I was like put in sports. You know, mm-hmm. my friends and all that shit would do that. You know?
Right.
But then there's like some, there's some, I think when you're like, 11, 12, 13 years old, mm-hmm. and you don't really fit in with that kind of, you know, environment or crowd or whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
You go do other shit and figure out what right. you're comfortable with. You know what I mean?
You find and your so, people. You find your tribe.
Dude, in my case, I was cool with everybody.
Right.
You know, because I think I was so insecure. Like, I always felt like, you know, kind of like a sad and angry kid, you mm-hmm. know? But... like through, I don't know, just hanging out and experiencing life differently. Like mm-hmm. I started experimenting with drugs, you know?
Okay.
I mean? Like I'd never at home was always, you know, kind of fucking, I'm not going to say it was like horrible, but like my home life was a little weird because the dynamic between my parents, mm-hmm. like we're divorced and like now I have, you know, step parents and siblings and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going back and forth from, you know, I live with my grandma on the older side of the colony, like in the south side, and mm-hmm. then my dad lived on the nicer side,
mm-hmm.
the north side. So I got to experience both, like,
sure.
environments. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's not like it's fucking Harlem or anything. It's just, right. it's just dude, it's south, colony,
dude,
you know what I mean?
South, yeah. dude, South Colony's bro, hard,
south of 423, it's fucking going down.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, man, a lot of Mexicans, you know, I hung out with a lot, you know, and I'm, my mom's side of the family is Mexican.
Okay, so you're part Latino.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Sometimes it doesn't feel like it.
Okay.
I wish I could speak better Spanish, but
right.
I'm learning.
Okay.
I took 3 years of that shit, dude, and I can't say shit. I can say a bunch of words that don't make any sense together
yeah.
and make it sound like I know what I'm talking about to yeah. people who don't know Spanish.
Well, you know what's cool is like when I, you know, I lived in Oklahoma for a long time, but mm-hmm. because of my complexion, that people think like,
oh, they start rapping Spanish to you already.
No, they're like, are you native? What tribe are you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I can see that.
I'm just like, bro, I'm not.
Right.
I'm not native.
Sure.
And there's tribal police out there, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude, I know all about
it.
And
so I would always be like doing like something illegal.
Uh-huh.
And my friends would trip like, bro, there's the tribal cops are there. I'm like, bro, I'm not fucking native. I'm not worried about the tribal cops. But
right.
they can fucking pull you over.
Right.
No yeah.
Who. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, tribal. They can also give you a heroin charge and then send it to the other county.
Yeah.
Right.
And then that just ends up getting dropped one day because it was just a piece of cotton anyways. But
yeah.
how do I know any of that? I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I don't know. Like I 13, like when I was in high school, like early high school, late middle school,
mm-hmm.
me and my brother were really into like trying psychedelics.
Okay.
And shit like that, you know? And at the time, like my first experience getting high, like my first time ever getting high was actually on cough syrup.
Okay.
So like I had smoked weed.
I mean, it's
weed.
There. Yeah.
I had smoked weed prior.
Are you talking about the cough syrup with actual codeine?
No, fuck no. I'm talking about
DXN,
NyQuil, bro.
Right. Yeah,
NyQuil.
All right.
And Robitussin and stuff like that because, you know, we would go at this time they had Corsodin. And anyone that like has
triple C's, baby.
Anyone that's been in the DXM like world knows that like there it used to be really easy to get and like bro, there's even people that fucking extract it.
Uh-huh.
That's besides the point.
Right.
We would steal it from Kroger or whatever and then go home and get fucked up.
Right.
And so I noticed, like, I started with that, and then I started smoking weed pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And then my, you know, we were selling drugs also okay. at the time. Me and my brother were. So uh-huh. it became like,
What were your wares? What were you peddling?
Oh, weed, brownies,
uh-huh.
Oxy, you know, Adderall.
Uh-huh.
So basically just pills and weed. You know?
Right. But before, like, the fentanyl came along, man,
when I started getting high, you know, mm-hmm. like when I first was becoming an addict,
mm-hmm.
And really all the way up till a couple of years ago, fentanyl mm-hmm. wasn't around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, sure. It wasn't. I know they've been using it medically for a long time, but right. like
on it the wasn't on as the commonplace no, yeah. in everything or could
no.
potentially be in everything. Not at all. Right.
On the street, it was fucking heroin and meth. You right. know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's how it was for me for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't start seeing fentanyl around, like, actually hit in where I was in Oklahoma
mm-hmm.
for until like 2020.
Okay.
But I know down here it was kind of already in full swing, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, but yeah, man. Like, so very quickly, like, I'm going from, you know, DXM
mm-hmm.
to cocaine to meth,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that, like back to back. I was 14, you know.
Okay, so you were more of a, well, it's funny because you did the cough syrup, which was kind of a downer.
Yeah.
And, but then you were like, oh, okay, cool, I need to.
No, man, and like, I still to this day, like, say that, like, I've never felt better than I ever have.
Mm-hmm.
Before that first time I did meth,
mm-hmm.
the first time I ever did meth was the you know, in the big book, like every fucking buddy likes to say, like, oh man, when I got high for the first time, it was like Bill said, like, I arrived, you know,
right.
what I mean? Like, yeah, it was like that for me, bro, but like everything was fucking just different, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And it wasn't like some grandiose fucking moment where I felt like I'd made it. Like, I was just really fucking cranked out and I loved it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It wasn't like, I can handle life now and everything's better.
You're like, I can see through walls.
Bro, I'm just as fucking awkward as I am on drugs or off drugs. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But the...
I was just really amped up.
Yeah, bro. I loved it. And then I kept doing it and everyone else didn't.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so... you know, I don't know, man. Like, I went on, you know, I had a bunch of family stuff going on where I just basically wanted to keep getting high
mm-hmm.
and fucking off and breaking the law and right. doing shit like that.
Well, so the family stuff was, like, stuff that you wanted to avoid dealing with, like, emotionally or
I mean,
what?
No, like, yeah, in a way, but, like, basically I, you know, was getting really involved. Like, I was hanging out with a lot of fucking, you know... unsavory fucking characters.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And my parents...
What were their names? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Bro, you go to the fucking Colony High School, it's on and popping, bro. It's
right.
Like, it's pretty, like...
Okay.
It's pretty rough, I guess.
Right.
But, you know, so the whole sports and college and everything, I'm fucking... That's out of there, bro.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
not you.
All I want to do now is fucking break the law,
mm-hmm.
steal shit, and get high.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what I did. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, all my friends went to fucking UT and,
right.
you know what I mean? Out of high school, right? They went right. to fucking Texas Tech or whatever fucking
right.
bullshit college and, you know, they were going to. I went to jail.
Okay. You know what I mean? Right.
So, like, this was kind of my coming of age story, was mm-hmm. very fucking different than
I just
my,
fucking love right. the way, dude. Yeah. I just love how descriptive he is. He's like, Texas Tech or whatever fucking bullshit college. I went to fucking jail.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, man, like, I don't know. I'm actually pretty glad that I had that experience because,
okay.
Looking back at it, like, what I'm doing now,
mm-hmm.
and, like, I never really thought I was going to go to college
okay.
or anything. I never.
Well, I mean, college isn't for everybody.
No.
You know, obviously, it's not for Chad or myself.
I have a fucking degree. Fuck you.
Good for you.
Fuck you.
Anyway.
You're my dad.
Yeah, thank God.
That's why you don't know.
Thank God.
My dad knows.
All right.
You don't know.
Even now, man, I'm not even open to the idea of, like, I mean, people will say, like, it's never too late to do that or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And in my case, it would be, like, UTI.
Yeah.
You know, like, tech school.
Sure. But you've kind of already learned that on-the-job training style,
exactly.
right?
Yeah. Exactly. But, I mean, dude, it took me a long time. Like, I had my parents. I ran away for a little while, mm-hmm. for, like, a couple weeks. And I was staying in a fucking tent. mm-hmm. at like 15, 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
In Little Elm Lake.
Okay.
With all my buddies.
All right. You know what I mean? All year. Were they runaways as well?
Fuck yeah. Bro, they like...
A little camp.
Their parents were also like addicts and
little
stuff.
Camp of hood rats.
Bro, it was so cool to me because my buddy at the time, like we would hang out all the time and skip school and like do this, all this shit. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, oh, well, my fucking dad's tripping. Da, da, da. And he was like, bro, all you got to fucking do is literally disobey your fucking parents like times a million. And then they'll stop trying to fucking like worry about you. You know
right.
what I mean? And I was like, oh, my God, that sounds fucking, you know what I mean? That sounds like great. A good idea. So he was like, that's what I did with my dad, bro. I just fucking did whatever I wanted until finally he gave up.
You right. know
what I mean?
Sure.
So that's kind of what I was trying to do.
You were aiming for that. You were aiming high.
But in a way, like, you know, the dream of, like, wanting to sell dope and fucking, you know, carry guns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Kind of fizzled out very quickly. Cause like me and my brother really thought that we were like
gangsters, had an operation, right? You know what I mean? Dude, like we're big time.
And then I get into sophomore year and I fucking moved to Richardson because my dad moved to Oklahoma for his job.
Okay,
and I moved to Richardson where I live now.
Okay,
so I was at JJ Pierce High School.
Right.
And the first day of school, I was pissed about it, bro. I did not want to move schools or any fucking shit like that. And as soon as I got there, I found...
The disgruntled new kid.
Bro, the first day, I swear to God, I found the hood rats, bro.
Oh, yeah.
In computer class or whatever. And we fucking skipped school the next day.
All right, you
know?
Yeah.
And so, I, you know...
They're not hard to spot.
No, man. It went on like that for, you know, we were doing, you know, Xanax was a big part of, like, my beginning drug years, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was doing a lot of Xanax and Coke and stuff like that. And... We would skip school every fucking day. I mean, I probably had like 20 or 30 days, you know, give or take of missed absences. School absences. Yeah, right. And they, you
unexcused know. Absences, right?
Yeah, and I had a custody situation with my parents at this time. There had been one before, I think, but like,
okay.
I pretty much fucking lied to the court and everyone, like the counselors and everybody. Because I wanted to keep getting high and fucking breaking the law and doing dumb shit.
Okay.
So I knew that would be easier for me to do.
What was the lie that you told in
order
to...
So I basically told the court that, like, my, you know, my mom's house and, like, that side of the family is just not working out. And I said all this, all this dishonest shit about what was going on there. And kind of in a way, like, because I was using drugs and acting out, of course, my mom would fucking freak out.
Right. I don't want to go to my mom's house because she's going to
fucking... But it wasn't even really that, man. Like, I was bold-faced lying, saying it was like, you know, I don't fucking remember. I told them, like, that it was not fit for me to live there.
Right. Like, it was an unsafe environment. Yeah,
unsafe environment.
But this tent by Little Elm over here is all good.
Exactly.
Dude.
So then I fucking moved and I did all that so I could go to like say fuck it and leave Texas and go try something new. And
okay.
I really thought in my head like it was so me and my mom like didn't speak for a long time, you know, because of that. It was really fucked up.
Right, cuz you threw her under the bus, so to speak.
Yes.
Right.
And so I knew, like, if I go up to Oklahoma, man, it's a fresh start.
Right.
I mean?
I can
do whatever the fuck I want. Like, I don't have to worry about, you know, my mom, you know, is very.
I can escape my past.
Well, dude, my mom's like my biggest supporter.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you don't realize that at the time
And being someone that's not like an addict or alcoholic, like, to see your kid go through this stuff, I'm sure is fucking frightening.
Oh yeah.
So like, you know, she was very, very involved in trying to keep me away from going that route.
Yeah.
But I fucking did what I do and I went and did it anyways.
You know right. what
I mean? So I moved to Oklahoma with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like 2016. This is before the Vegas shooting. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Okay.
That's just the thing I use to, like, gauge
time. That's your timeline. You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. Chad's timeline is 9/11. So.
Yeah.
Shut up. Jamie, pull up 9/11.
Dude.
Hey, real quick. Let's throw to a commercial. All right. We've got our good friend Max the Axe, our sponsor at Lone Star Injury Attorneys. If you go to thispinklawyer.com. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go to thispinklawyer.com. Okay. Do you want to do it?
No, dude, you do it. I'm just the voice of reason.
You do it. Anyway, thispinklawyer.com. And he will help you with your personal injury needs.
Yeah, man.
And he practices in Texas and California. So hit him up.
Yeah, hit him up. Or just call him. Be like, hey, man.
There you go.
They said to call you. Say Kelly Reverb said to call you.
There you go.
He was like, so you're cool.
And then we also actually have some new music.
Or maybe not.
And Chad is going to play it.
When?
I think now.
Take off the shirt, no, take off the Dolce, take off the Birkin bag. Take all that designer bullshit off, and what do you have? Word in a panic, the women is panic, the men on the run. The logic is vanished, the market is crashing, the industry wants. Sleep in the box while they making a mockery, following us. Watching for love.
There we go. Love it. That is actually a song called Open Up and streaming on Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff. YouTube Music as well. Then the first song was a remix of Kendrick Lamar, which is available for... he gets the canned flatulence. But that is available on SoundCloud. So if you go to soundcloud.com/Kelly Reverb, that mix is available for free download.
There's a whole bunch of other stuff
on
there.
Or you can just listen to it a bunch.
Yeah, man, there's a whole bunch of other stuff on there.
That's right. Yeah, we've got a whole...
Arcade Fire, Depeche Mode, Bjork.
There is actually there's a playlist on my SoundCloud that says 100% free download remixes.
And
they're all there.
It's all the stuff.
They're all there.
Hey, man, they're there.
Hey, man. So, yeah, if you get a chance, be sure and follow us on there. And we've got a bunch of new stuff coming out. Speaking of that, the intro song, Activate, is out April 11th. So it'll be out by the time this airs. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Because time's not linear here for us.
Exactly. We are
not linear.
Multidimensional.
We ate so much goddamn Denty more that we just became non-linear time travelers when we take our shits.
Omnidirectional.
Yeah, dude. There you go.
All right. Well, cool. So, yeah, back to your story there, Garrett.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I went to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Fucking boomer sooner, you know what I mean? I'm out in the country.
Sure.
And like
fucking boomer sooner.
Meth is very prevalent there, you know what I mean? So I fucking I fit in very well.
Right. Well, and what now, was weed legal at the time?
It became legal while I lived there.
Okay, yeah.
But
and all the other drugs kind of dropped in criminalization.
That's what they fucking thought, bro, but I mean,
all the other party favors are still happening.
Yeah, very much.
Right.
Well, I'm talking about like legally, like they dropped the criminalization classes of them.
Yeah, I don't. And in Oklahoma, you can get a ticket for meth possession.
Well, I've always thought it was funny in Oklahoma that the beer has a lighter amount of alcohol. It's like 3.5 beer, but
4.3.
Well, there you go. But then weed's legal.
Yeah,
weed's all good, dude.
Dude, I mean, but it's kind of smart the way they did it, because like that is a very kind of like, as far as I understand, it's a poorer state.
Oh yeah,
and like as far as the infrastructure. Well, goes,
now that's part of their huge and part now, of their income. Yeah.
Now it's like a very big cash crop.
Yeah,
brought a lot of money to Oklahoma.
Sure,
and
Oklahoma, the weed state.
They call it Smokelahoma.
Smokelahoma. Yeah, there we go. Pretty, I love
it's,
it.
It's pretty catchy. But
shout out Smokelahoma.
The fucking dude. Shout out 405. Fucking
shout out 405.
But they, you know, now there's a bunch of people moving there because the property tax is cheaper.
Right.
You can fucking.
Oh yeah. We were there and it was just like insane. Yeah.
You can shoot guns and all you want. It's fucking awesome.
Right.
But the thing is like, for someone like, you know, moving to Tulsa or fucking, you know, Yukon.
Right.
El Reno or fucking wherever that's like.
Right.
Kind of like it is here, but just smaller.
Sure.
You have to like obviously be like a drug addict or an alcoholic to like get around and find, you know, your way into this like crazy fucking lifestyle out there, bro. Because I moved to Shawnee.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very fucking
small,
crime-ridden,
small,
drug-infested town. You know, and I lived just outside of it.
Okay.
You know? And I went to finish high school there.
Okay.
But while I thought when I moved there, I was going to have a fresh start and, like, you know, it was going to be cool because no one fucking knew me and whatever.
Right. And I can start over.
I get to this school and continue to sell drugs and get in trouble.
Sure.
You know, immediately.
Now, is your dad at this time, is your dad still?
My dad is was
still a raging alcoholic or alcoholic?
No, my
or,
dad got sober in the late 90s.
Okay.
And then he was sober for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then later on, you know, he had some, you know, breaks in his sobriety, obviously.
Sure.
And then as far as I know, like he became like somewhat of a dry drunk. His sponsor killed himself.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? His sponsor shot himself and they were like best friends. And
right.
Like, my dad's sponsor's wife was my mom's Al-Anon sponsor.
Oh, wow.
So they were very like close. To it, you know? And then that happened, and everything kind of like
blew up the shit, whole game.
So, you know, man, I get kicked out of school and like all this stupid shit. I had to graduate online.
Okay,
you know, and
GED style.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, no, I got my diploma, but I had to do it online because I got expelled.
Right.
You know.
Gotcha.
I was selling Xanax and shit like that.
Right.
And, like, kind of like I said earlier, man, I graduated by the fucking, you know, hair on my neck or whatever the fuck people.
Right.
Know,
is that stupid sure. Saying?
Whatever the term is.
By the grace of God.
I fucking, you know, just started going to jail immediately. Uh-huh. Like, I just had gave up and didn't pursue anything, like.
Except for selling drugs.
I didn't pursue anything of the educational or, like, workforce variety. I just went to fucking breaking the law.
Sure. Know? Well, it sounds like you were kind of doing that the whole time.
The entire time.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even, like, really selling enough drugs to be, like, you know, in high school, yeah. But when I got out of high school and everyone's, like, doing their own shit, I just would hang around and fucking get high.
Uh-huh.
So then, like, I started doing heroin. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then I'd been doing meth for, you know, 6 years at that point or whatever. So I get on heroin and then now everything's IV. You know,
right.
I start shooting up. And this
and is. What, so with the meth, were you smoking it or what were
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was smoking it, snorting it
okay.
for a long time.
Right.
And then, you know, I was eating it, obviously.
Yeah.
But Xanax and fucking, you know, I was a pothead for a long time too.
Uh-huh.
But when I started doing hard drugs all the time, I quit smoking weed.
Okay. You know?
And like now, I still can't smoke weed because it makes me too anxious.
A lot of people say that weed, like, you know, it mellows them out, but it actually
freaks me out.
Well, it actually gives you know, some people anxiety.
I smoked so much weed, and you know how I quit smoking weed? I started doing a shit ton of heroin.
Yeah.
And you know what happened when I started smoking weed again or tried to smoke weed again? I started having fucking panic attacks, dude.
Dude, it's the same.
I can't do it.
The same for me, man. And I'm also not 13 fucking years old anymore. So right. I like, you know, fentanyl and crack and shit like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But when I was smoking weed, you know, like you said, it became legal. Then, like, now my friends are working in the fucking pot farms.
Sure.
And shit like that. And it's like, you know, they're creating all this new, like, THCA.
Right.
Like
yeah.
That, you know,
oh yeah.
Like crystals and all this.
Oh yeah.
CBD, GB39.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And
Delta 47,622.
Government issue.
Dude, it was
like
fucking
weed.
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
Because I was like, bro, I can go get a weed card
because
I'm 19.
Right.
But I can't go buy a fucking pistol.
Right.
You know
or,
what I mean?
A beer.
Or a beer. Or
right.
Or cigarettes. I was
sure.
I was 19 when they passed the law to change the smoking age to 21.
Oh, wow.
So I've been buying cigarettes legally for, you know, a year.
Right.
And then I was like, well, what the fuck, bro?
Right.
You know what I mean? This is the stupidest thing ever. You can go buy a fucking assault rifle if you're 18, but you can't buy cigarettes.
How old do you have to be? Is there a weed age in Oklahoma? Is that 21?
I think it's 18. Maybe might be 21.
Yeah, I would think it would be 21 if you can't. You can smoke weed, but not cigarettes.
Yeah.
If you're 18,
I think
we're encouraging everybody to start off on weed and then graduate to cigarettes.
Well, of course, if you have like an actual medical reason, like bro, and I'm sure you guys know, like in Colorado or anywhere. I mean, not Colorado anymore, but the way it was when it first started. The dispensaries are here, and now, like, down the road from my dad's house is a fucking pot field like I've never seen before in my life, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking acres of plants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they have armed guards and shit, you know?
Right.
But it's, like, for that area and, like, that time in America, I think, like, there was a lot of mixed emotions, like... Mm-hmm. Politically about what they wanted to do with it. And so, you know, everyone saw how much money it was bringing to Oklahoma, and then they made it a lot easier to get. So, like, you could go to the fucking dispensary. They have a doctor on staff there at the dispensary. And you say,
of course.
Hey, you know, I've got some anxiety and a little back pain.
And I think I got some, like a touch of glycoma.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I'm 21 and I think I have glycoma.
You can go in there and say, hey, someone just cut me off in traffic. I'm a little upset.
Right.
And they'll fucking write you a script.
Oh, you've got some PTSD.
Exactly.
Okay,
post-traffic stress disorder.
Right.
And they, bro, it's in 30 minutes you walk out.
Right.
You pay $200.
I mean, I'm kind of an advocate for just legalizing it all, but also having it regulated, you know, so A, you don't have like the fentanyl slipping in and rearing its head.
They do that in overseas.
Yeah. And I think they're also doing that in Portugal as well.
Yeah. Portugal.
But
did you just say that like that? Say
he just said it like he was
Tortuga, dude.
Right. Bro,
they are very like.
But I advanced. Mean, but the thing is I think, you know, that ends the war on drugs, and then you have to figure out, you know, what else is there. That, you know, I mean, obviously. Mafia and other type of people are going to find something else to do.
Yeah.
But the thing is it's just all a waste of time. And if you would allocate that money towards like education and treatment, you know, I think it would be a lot smoother.
Yeah.
But that's just my thoughts.
Yeah, man, I know they're doing it pretty fucking, I like how they do it in Canada.
Right.
You know, with really, I think with the Reagan administration and all that stuff, man, it fucking went, you know.
Right.
Like, we definitely went the wrong way with this.
Well, yeah, the war on drugs.
The war on drugs.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a fucking war on drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always going to be.
But, you know what? Wars always generate money.
That's very true.
So.
I mean, you know, the deal is here that they don't want to talk about, you know what I mean, is like we get so much fucking money from the drug business here.
Oh, yeah.
And the suppliers. Well, from and Mexico then
don't forget, they want to keep the prisons full, too, because yeah. those are privately owned as well. Well,
dude, they give us the drugs and we give them the guns.
Right. You
know what I mean, that's like our mutual relationship.
Right.
With the
did somebody say Reagan administration?
Yeah, right.
The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help."
Anyway,
bro, that's fucking sick, though.
One that's day. Sick, bro. But yeah, we'll that's a new one that we got coming out.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I mean, so you're in this environment in Oklahoma and. And, you know, weed has just been legalized. And then yeah. so.
And I'm shooting meth and heroin every day.
Meth and heroin?
Yeah. Both. Okay. I have to have both.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean.
He's like me, yeah. dude. Yeah. I wouldn't. Once I started doing one speed, with the other, yeah, I'm not doing. I can't do heroin by right. itself. I can't sure. do anything by itself. It just. It has to be two things because one right. is not enough.
Yeah. And I also, you know, like. So now I'm overdosing.
Okay.
Now
is I'm that getting, like on a regular.
So it's happened to me twice.
Yeah. Okay.
That I know of, you know, my dad claims that he's found me OD'd like a couple more times than the ones that I know about.
Right.
But
is that from like yeah. just those drugs or is it from fentanyl?
Heroin.
Or?
Yeah, just okay. heroin. This was
just heroin.
This is it's all. Okay. Yeah. Just it heroin. Was just a little H. You know?
Right.
Just a little heroin.
But they, you know, up there they call it dark.
Okay.
And they call dope or meth. They call it clear.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, here they call it ice cream and fucking all this fancy shit, but up there it's just, like, they call it, you know, whatever. And so that was my whole life, dude. Like, I would get up and I had a system where if I couldn't fucking, like, steal, you know, money from my family or if I couldn't fucking get it from somebody or I couldn't sell drugs or whatever mm-hmm. to make what I needed to get, you know, through the day, mm-hmm. I would go to fucking... wherever, Walmart, you know,
right,
whatever. And I got so good at stealing like electronics and all this,
right,
whatever I wanted, plus like flashlights and knives and tweaker shit that I liked, you know what I mean,
right, stuff that I could take yeah. apart later.
And so I would get whole shopping bags, shopping carts full of shit,
uh-huh,
and I would leave and go pawn it, you know, I'd steal uh-huh. it and go pawn it.
How would you get out? Like, just
I'd walk out the fucking front door.
Yeah.
No, you just like you act like you just bought everything.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
And then just cruise.
I would steal a bunch of sacks on the way in. And I would get all of the stuff, go to like a corner of the Walmart that like cameras aren't like
uh-huh.
that good at.
Right.
And I would bag it all up.
Oh, okay.
And make it look like
I cool. just bought. Cool. I just need it. Yeah. I want everybody dude, to have
I,
a tip.
I stole case. A fucking crossbow one time.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And
how did you was that just in the cart?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
In the bottom.
Okay.
And I put dog food in there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Dog food over the crossbow?
Yeah. Well, the crossbow was in the bottom section.
Right.
Everything in the top was like, I had sound bars in there. I had fucking, you know, speakers.
Yeah.
And, you know, so this is what my life for years, bro.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Then I
plus,
got.
Plus, I mean, but you had been in and out of prison?
No, the whole time I'm many? Going, I've been in jail probably 22 times.
Okay.
But.
22
how old
shots.
Are you, dude?
24.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
But I never.
Congratulations.
I never went to prison, thank God. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was about to, uh-huh. and they offered me drug court.
Okay.
So I did drug court.
Okay.
You know. But at the time, like, I'm still, like. In and out of fucking jail. Now it's gotten so bad for me. I'm shooting like wasp spray dope.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, Black Flag.
Yeah. Tell us about how does that work?
So, man, in Oklahoma, they grow dope.
Okay. Yep.
You know what I mean? And they basically get a fucking 50-gallon drum and they get like 9% gun bluing and nickel welding rods and, you know, liquid ammonia and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it in this barrel.
Okay.
And they bury it for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
They put like a pantyhose on the top or like fishing line all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
And the temperature and the dark,
mm-hmm.
A mix with the, you know, the welding rods and the gun bluing, and you have to use self-activated charcoal, like, for fish tanks, and
okay.
it fucking grows. It's, like, the shards grow up the barrel.
Okay.
And so after 30 days, like, they take it out of the ground and you've got shards like this fucking big.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like you can make like 20 pounds off of one thing. And that's right. That's like, you know, that's like $40,000 worth of meth right there. You know?
Right.
So it's very common for people to do that. They're not fucking around with
trying to it's not like a meth lab. It's not, just like...
Yeah, now, dude, and they have stuff like this in
Mexico.
It's like
Mother Nature's little easy bake oven.
Yeah, people think that like a lot of it comes from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
But, bro, in the fucking sticks out there, these motherfuckers are getting down with... I'm talking about like they'll get a backhoe.
Oh, yeah.
Dig the fucking ground out.
Of course.
Rows of this shit.
You right.
Know, pounds.
Much more profitable than wheat.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. From Alabama all the way to New Mexico,
right,
man.
The old... I call that the dirt raver belt.
That's where all the good, like, old school meth cooks come from. Right. And, like, all the new age people that are growing it. But, like, to the black flag thing, if they're too lazy to even do that and grow it...
Right.
They'll get black flag wasp spray and spray it on a fucking window screen.
Okay.
Get a car battery. Shock
charge it.
Yeah.
And then it crystals.
And then everything that shakes off is dope.
Oh, nice. You know? Well, so there you go,
welcome
kids.
To instant psychosis.
There you go, kids.
Little did I know, when you shoot it up every day, it puts, like, giant sores and lesions on you.
Ah.
So I had, you know, staph infection at one point. I had, like, all these...
Chad had endocarditis.
Yeah, man. It wasn't that... serious, but just from the meth alone, I would get sores and lesions all over me.
Oh,
so
wow.
I would always look like a zombie. You know what I mean? And dude, I remember this so specifically because there was such a long period of my life where I wasn't doing anything but getting high and fucking off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the worst, darkest time of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that like stuck out about that more... Because now, man, like, I would live at home, but then I would leave and get kicked out. And I would live at home, and then I would get, like, a job for a little while, and then I would fucking still be using, and, like, all this stuff. It was just weird. And so me and my dad started to get really, like in fights, like, physical, you know.
Right.
And, like, drinking and all this stuff. Like, we would, like, crash the fuck out, you know what I mean? And so then I would go stay out on the street, you know, for God knows how long, and, like, I was just in and out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I had just gotten out and came back, and there was this fucking guard, I don't know where the fuck he's from, like, France or some shit like that.
Okay.
In Oklahoma. I was always like, what the fuck is this dude doing here?
Right.
Fucking, you know what I mean? His name is Belshi.
Okay.
And I was taking my shit with me. I had sores all over my face.
Uh-huh.
I had my hair, it used to be long, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I'm cuffed up, and they're taking me to the back, and he's like, why do you keep doing this, man?
All right.
And like those words cut into me like a fucking knife, bro.
All right.
He was like, why do you keep coming back here?
Uh-huh.
And I swear to God, I couldn't give him
an answer.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I couldn't say like anything. Because the way he said it...
Except, fuck you, Belchie.
Yeah, dude, I was just like, I don't fucking know, right? Man. The cops are fucking assholes.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I thought that...
The cops aren't cool with me fucking raiding Walmart.
Dude, I thought that...
Shooting, right.
I thought it was the drug task force issue, not mine.
Right, and of course.
Waste time on fucking people like me that just, that just shoot up.
Right.
When they could be, like, raiding houses and cool shit like that. But
cool shit.
They, you know...
Right.
But, man, like, even till now, that's one thing I remember from that time period where I'm like, damn, bro, that's so fucking deep. Yet it was such a simple question.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And so, like, inevitably I go to drug court and, like, I'm legally required now. I went to treatment for the first time.
Oh,
and
okay.
I get out, you know, it's called in Cushing, Oklahoma.
Okay.
It's called Valley Hope.
Okay.
They have one here, too.
All right.
But in Oklahoma, it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Now, is Valley Hope, is that state-funded or is that private?
No, it's private. Okay. I asked my cellmate one time when I was in jail, like, hey, man, I'm thinking about going to rehab. Like, where should I go? And he told me that place.
Okay.
It's like a 5-story mansion.
Okay.
It's like Gone with the Wind mansion.
Nice. You know what I mean?
It's like that.
Right.
But they renovated it into a treatment center.
Okay.
And so I was dating this girl, and we both went to treatment and then, like, got out and then relapsed again. And so it went on like this forever, you know what I mean? I would kind of get some moments of sobriety together, but it was miserable and I would go back out, you know?
Right.
Just like everyone fucking talks about.
Sure.
But,
Well, also take into consideration, and I mean, I'm not giving you an excuse, yeah, but you are a younger guy.
Yeah.
So, like, when you get a little bit older, like Chad.
Fuck you. You're old.
He always.
No shit.
Chad always.
You're old.
No, Chad always shits on me for how old
yeah,
I am.
Yeah.
So I'm just you're old. I'm just shitting on him for how old he is. But so, but, you know, you actually realize that, like, you know, you've had enough time on the, you know, the.
He's an alcoholic, so he lies. I'm not old.
That's right. You're a heroin addict, and you don't lie.
Dude, alcoholics lie, dude.
Whatever, dude. Everybody lies. Every drug dealer,
no,
every
you lie.
Every type of addict lies.
I think addicts are not. Everyone lies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Just alcoholics are the worst.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah, worse than heroin users. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Of course. But anyway, so, like, you know, I mean, the thing is, you know, Chad's had a little more time on the hamster wheel, and, you know, I mean, yeah, so have I, but so where it's like, you know, you're a young guy, and people say, oh, you got your life ahead of you, you know, I mean, what is it that you're going to do, you know, like now, that hopefully will bring you long term success?
That's a really good question, honestly, because, man, I felt like, I was like, okay, I've been in addiction for 10 years since I was a kid, right?
Sure,
since I was
yeah,
14. So
that's all you really knew.
I got to AA. You mm-hmm, know what I mean? I would go shoot dope in the bathroom and come back out in the meeting and talk about being sober.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And, like, because I had to get my fucking paper signed.
You know? Yeah, of course.
And then I go.
Well, first off, you should have just had somebody else sign it.
Yeah, I did that a lot, actually. Okay. But
all right.
I, you know, that was my first experience, like, with that. I never fucking thought it was important to actually, like, work the steps.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't fucking even know what it was.
Right.
Like, I would go to the meetings and, like, drink fucking coffee and that's it. You know what right, I mean? And so I moved down to Texas. I go to treatment again, right?
Right.
I go to Texas. Now I'm, like, actually in recovery,
mm-hmm,
in Texas recovery. And mm-hmm, so this is, like, the experience I had where I fucking worked the steps and, mm-hmm, like, I was doing good and I went fucking back out because I wasn't doing anything right.
Okay.
Or I wasn't doing everything honestly, open-minded, and willingly. You know
right.
I mean?
So you tried to work the steps
my
prior.
Way. I
and
tried
then,
it my
ah,
way.
Ah, right.
You know what
okay,
I mean?
Yeah.
And by that, I'm saying, bro, I was doing fucking H and I's and I was like being available with sponsor and I was meeting with my sponsor and I was fucking going to meetings and all
right,
this shit they fucking tell you to do.
Yeah.
I
you
was
were
doing.
You were checking boxes.
But I was not doing it for the intent of growing spiritually. I was doing it to fucking look good. And
right,
because I was in sober living and I fucking had
checking
to,
boxes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
And everything meditate like spiritually I was bankrupt as they fucking call it, right?
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't like I thought that maybe if I do this enough of this stuff and help people, then like I'll feel better.
Well, you know, I mean? I'm not going to say that, you know, being in that environment, some of it will rub off on you, you know,
yeah.
I mean, being around it. So it's not even though you were doing the steps shittily,
yeah,
you know, it's not a bad thing to be around that because
yeah,
I think,
not.
You know, I think, you know, through osmosis or whatever, you're going to actually pick up on some shit and maybe use that later
yeah,
and maybe improve. And I think
it's possible. I mean, I fucking just did. I just went and I like worked the steps.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, like, bro, I would be fucking very particular about like what I was willing to do and what I wasn't willing to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm yeah, okay. So. I'm okay with 1, 2, and 3,
yes,
but 4 and 5, I'm gonna go ahead and glaze over.
And I'm
those,
just gonna skip to 12.
Right.
Man, I came to love it.
Uh-huh.
Like the being in the fucking the realm of recovery.
Sure.
But when I and this is what I like to like say, bro, because this is my fucking Garrett's the death metal fucking mechanics experience.
Right.
What happened, bro, is I can fucking go into the rooms and talk a lot of fucking hot shit
uh-huh,
about what I'm doing spiritually and like how I'm fucking
how you're on fire,
how I'm on fire,
all right,
and I fucking carry the fucking message,
right?
Like I'm fucking on point. But when I fucking go home,
uh-huh,
what am I actually doing?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, what am I doing when nobody's fucking looking?
Uh-huh.
And it's time for me to fucking get on my knees and pray.
Right.
Or, like, I'm going through tough times in my life or whatever the fuck it is. And I'm, like, from the outside perspective, I'm doing it. But am I really fucking doing it when I'm by myself?
Sure.
And there's no one but me and my fucking higher power, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fucking meditating or writing nightly inventory, bro. You know what I mean? I might go jerk off and fucking and go.
I was going to say, Chad, I'm telling you.
I might go watch a murder documentary.
Chad's the edging king.
Yeah, bro. I believe you, dude. I really. This is the fucking fact of the matter, bro.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Kelly fucking goes home, eats Dinty more while he edges, dude.
Yeah. Exactly. But I love that term, edging. That's hilarious. but so I mean, the thing is, it seems like, are you honest with yourself? You know, like, are you?
Dude, that's where it gets tricky, right?
Yeah.
People, like, let's say we're talking about the fourth step right now.
Okay.
Or let's say we're talking about dishonesty.
Right.
And, like, let's pretend that we're in a meeting right now.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, you know, will share and say, you know, I just, at first I had to be honest to myself.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, bro, shut the fuck up.
I've heard that voice before.
Right. And so that's my judgmental thinking, but, like,
sure,
it is true.
Right.
Can be.
Right.
But I think, like, for me, and this is just my, like, experience, being directly dishonest to someone,
mm-hmm.
like, straight up lying, mm-hmm. and to make your life easier.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, like, oh, to spare them some, you know, trouble.
Right.
Like, if I'm directly being dishonest with somebody, then that fucks me up more than anything.
Yeah. Why do you say that?
Unknowingly, because, like, that is, like, the first domino to fall in my you're fucked cycle. You know what I mean?
Well, like, it sounds like, I mean, because you were doing that with your mom and all that kind of shit. It's like a cycle.
With everybody, bro. Because, like, what I want to do is, like, fucking say I'll do a bunch of shit and say I'm doing good and say I'm going to do this and fucking that.
Right.
But really, I'm going to spend all my money on piercings and tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to fucking pay my debt or whatever. Right. I'm not going to fucking, like, go do, like, what I say I'm going to be doing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And this doesn't just come from not fulfilling my commitments, but this comes from, like, me lying for fucking pity.
Uh-huh.
Or lying to people to fucking make my life easier or to, like, for status or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
That unknowingly makes me sicker than anything.
Uh-huh.
Because now I've got all this self-will built up to where I'm acting out, like, sexually, and I'm fucking trying to fucking stick my dick wherever I can.
Sure.
Or I'm fucking, you know, making all these dumb decisions based on self that, like, I know are probably wrong, but I don't give a fuck anyways. Because now I'm just in this mode of, like, I'm going to fucking do what I want. Maybe I'll
and
get
when's
away
the
with
bubble
it.
Gonna burst?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, we've had people, like, on the show that, you know, have just, you know, gone out and basically, I'm like, did we cause their relapse? You know? But no, man, you know, I mean, this is real shit you're saying.
No, it's like, bro, I can fucking come on here and, like, say, talk about, you know, page 24 in the big books.
So right. You can quote that big book all you want.
But, bro, that doesn't fucking matter at all.
Right.
Because if I'm not actually going out and living it when I fucking leave this room,
mm-hmm.
then anything that, like, I've fucking done so far is pointless.
Right. Yeah. Right? Well, because so what things are you doing to live the lifestyle?
And
I mean, obviously, bro, obviously being honest with yourself is huge.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But for me, like, I mean, man, I really love, obviously, like, I like carrying the message and stuff like that.
Sure.
Like, that's a big part of my recovery. You know,
okay.
And working with others and just doing. And, you know, man, I'm not fucking Mark Houston, bro. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I'm not, like, fucking out here, you know, doing lectures and shit. About
I don't know who Mark Houston is. But
I don't either. Hopefully the lizards do.
Right.
Mark. I'm not Jaquel Von Halen.
Yeah, bro.
All right.
I'm out here doing, like, number one, it's really, like, obviously helping others, obviously trying to expand, like, my spiritual standing with mm-hmm. my God, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? But really just experiencing, like, my life every day in a way that's not, that's different. Because, bro, I fucking went to treatment here in Texas 3 fucking times.
Sure.
Back to back. Like, and this is while I was, like, supposed to be working the steps. So I figured out what the fuck it is to, like, do this shit my
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm trying to do it, like, the way I feel God would have me be,
you know right.
I mean? Instead of just doing all this stuff and then in my free time you know, or like
doing the Garrett program.
Or bro, just actually fucking saying that I am and not actually doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And that for me, I guess, looks like being very available and like getting very fucking uncomfortable. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like very uncomfortable.
Right.
With
do you have any speaking of uncomfortable? Do you have any like kind of safety valves, safeguards? You know, as far as like when you're feeling like restless, irritable, or discontent.
I get piercings.
You get piercings, yeah. Okay, yeah, dude. And you're pierced head to toe, I guess.
No, just my face.
Oh, okay, cool.
For now.
All right.
Kelly said he was going to ask you, dude, if you had the dingus done.
No, but the old.
No, it sounds cool to be like, these are just the ones you can see.
That's right, dude. I got my trap door shut. I saw that on Jackass once where Steve-O actually had the, I want that closed permanently.
And dude, like, I don't know. It's cool, like, what when you actually, and I think, like, the spirituality aspect of it was something I slacked on extremely hard before.
Mm-hmm.
And now, actually doing it, like, one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And, like, doing the things that I wasn't, like, I didn't have the fucking willingness to do this shit before, to pray every day.
Right.
And to fucking meditate and do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yes, I get to. I don't have to.
Right.
But the thing is, like, bro, I can try to help as many people as I can,
mm-hmm.
but if I'm not really at practicing these spiritual stuff in my personal life with every interaction I fucking have, and obviously I'm not going to do it 100% of the time, you know,
right?
I'm not going to be perfect, but like, I try to fucking just be like, bro, am I fucking better today than I was yesterday?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. that's really all. If I can answer yes, and if there's a possibility it helps someone else out before I help myself today, then I've done my job as a recovered addict.
Right. You know
what I mean,
sure.
Whether that be directly with other addicts that
right.
I go, you know, carry the message to and work with, you know, either through sponsorship or fellowshipping or H&I situations or whatever.
Right.
Or like, bro, my fucking friends right now that I was in treatment, like my friends and mm-hmm. stuff like that are around me, like are dropping like flies right now.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
and this is the thing that like I found it is different. Like we all have this common theme of getting out of treatment and doing well, but then like after the 6 month mark, like something fucking happens
mm-hmm.
and we just start doing shit our way
mm.
and then we end up back at fucking wherever the
I think that's important that you point that out, because you know, I mean, 6 months, I mean, look, any clean time is a win. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, like after that 6 month mark, then it's like, okay, well, I accomplished that. So I can probably go out and maybe, you know, navigate this shit. I got the shit now. I got it in check.
Yeah,
or even when you get to a year, you're like, okay, cool. I'm going to let my guard down a little bit. And I think I got this.
That's another thing that I talk about to people. Yeah. I had mm-hmm. talked to people, Kelly. Okay. It's not just you. I talk to people.
All right.
Okay.
Congratulations.
It's like, dude, you know, you can quote the big book all fucking day, yeah. right? But all that knowledge and all that fucking rote memorization, whatever you want to fucking call it, where you know all this shit, it's fucking completely useless. Because what are you doing when the door shuts? What are you doing when you walk out? It's the practical application of knowledge. If I knew how to build fucking rockets for NASA and then I just never did it, what the fuck is the point of me knowing that?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's the practical application of all this stuff that we learn in all these different recovery programs. And it's like having somebody there to help you like implement it, or like it's, you know, we didn't get fucking good at anything. You don't get good at anything without practicing.
Yeah.
You don't fucking build muscle working out without working out.
Right.
You know steroids. What I mean? Or yeah. steroids. Yeah. Even in steroids, dude, you still got to fucking work out.
Yeah. Or you hell become yeah.
you know what
bloated.
I'm saying? But it's like the knowledge of all this stuff. And if you're not, because somebody, he said it on the last episode too, is like, my intention is to grow spiritually. That's what I looked at the like going into the recovery with. It's like the intention is now to like connect spiritually and grow, because that's what it is, right?
Right.
If I'm fucking sitting still, you know what I mean? When water sits still, it collects mosquitoes, and I fucking hate mosquitoes, dude.
There you go.
You know what I mean? But if that water's moving around and it's fucking, it's moving, it's growing, it's growing and expanding, it's growing and it just contracting and all that stuff, dude. And that's life. like, we don't get to just sit around for 90 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, recovery is, like, this whole... I don't know. You said it really well, dude. It's, like...
It's
uncomfortable.
Right.
It is uncomfortable. All the best things that happened because... they didn't happen because, like, I sat around in a fucking recliner every single day for 90 years. They happened because I got uncomfortable and something cool came out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, I wanted to... I mean, our time is up, dude. But, man, that went quick.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy's 24. I go, his story's not going to last an hour. I'm like, oh, it's pretty fascinating. Yeah.
Stuff in there, man.
Yeah.
I said the last episode, they were like, who's on next week? I was like, I got a guy with enough metal in his face to set the goddamn TSA on fire.
Yeah. I heard that, actually.
Hell yeah, dude.
Right. But yeah, I want to just say thanks for coming out and sharing your story. I mean, I think this is a good thing because you are a young guy, man, and maybe somebody out there is struggling.
Yeah, there's a lot of young people in this program that kind of just fucking get, you know, and not just in whatever program it might be, but in recovery that fucking fall out and die really quick. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It is kind of a cool thing for me to be able to, like, be one of the, you know, people that's younger in this shit that's actually...
And you said you got 8 months, right?
Yeah, right now.
All right, dude. Right on, dude.
Yeah man. Congratulations.
Daps, there you go, dude. Appreciate it, man. Well, and then I hope you have, come back and when you got 2 years.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll come back with a fucking chip or something in my face.
Yeah, I would love it, dude. I would love
to come back with a chip in my face.
I would love it, you tattoo and, like, a hanging off. Like, right? Yeah. Well, you definitely got to get, like, some ink for it. At least, right?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
For sure.
I love it. Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. Chad, as always.
As always what?
It's always a pleasure, Chad.
You goddamn right it is. You fucking old piece of shit.
Whatever. Yeah. How old are you now? You're almost 40, right?
I'm not a day over 21, brother.
You're 41?
I ain't a day over 21.
Right. He was around for the writing of the book with Bill W.
My grandpappy built this land in 1902.
Dude, that fool on the bed, that picture is...
I was going to, like, say the Jaywalker was about Chet. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
That was the story.
That's how I lost my leg.
That's right. Exactly.
That's the story of how I lost my leg. They wrote the book about it.
All right. Well, I appreciate everybody tuning in. Be sure, like, subscribe, comment, all that stuff. Yeah. And then next week, we've got possibly Parker, and then we've got some other good guests coming up.
Yeah, man.
Anyway.
Hey, man.
It'll be fun. All right, man. Sure and tune in next
like
week.
Like and subscribe. Touch that button. Right. Touch that fucking button. Touch the fuck out of that button.
Maybe feel it a little
bit. Anyway.
Maybe feel it a little bit. Maybe try and touch it with your tongue.
It just went real creepy.
Hell yeah, dude.
Anyway, remember, kids, there is no magic pill for sobriety because if there was, we would all take too many.